بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, yesterday we spoke about two aspects of the five aspects of Islam, which is Aqeedah and Ibadah. And we just touched upon Ma'amilat. Today I want to complete that and speak to you about the other aspects also. Now, Mu'amilat, as I mentioned, if you look at Aqidah and Ibadah, one of the important things to understand, and we are now looking at it from the perspective of Da'wah, of inviting towards Islam, of presenting Islam to the world, which is part of our responsibility given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aqidah and Ibadah, by and large, are hidden. Aqidah is completely hidden because it's in my heart, in your heart. And Ibadah, for the most part, we pray in our own spaces, which are secluded, and they are not open for public view. There's nothing secretive about it. It's not that we are trying to hide anything, but generally, Ibadah tends to be, you know, in the masjid, in the home, and so on. So people are not there, outsiders are not there. But Mu'amilat, dealings are by definition with outsiders. It's with other people, right? Even if the other people are family members, it doesn't matter. Dealings are with others outside ourselves, outside our immediate circle. And that's where the picture of Islam is actually seen by others. Right? Now we can talk about, we can say whatever we want, but people will remember what we did only. People will not remember what you said. They will remember how you made them feel. And that is, I think that's Mary Angelou's statement, which I'm sort of paraphrasing. And it's a beautiful statement. People do not remember what you said. They remember how you made them feel. So that is a very important aspect. Now, Mu'amilat, Rasulullah was extremely, extremely particular about Mu'amilat, about dealings. And he always, one of his famous teachings and one of the famous hadiths, which I mentioned before, he said to give more than what is due to somebody. That this is the requirement of excellence, which is even more than adil, even more than justice, which is to give more, not to give what is due, but to give what is more. So not only to give what is due, but to give what is more. And that referred to absolutely everything in his life. This is what he did, this is how he treated people. He treated them and gave them more than was their due. And this is what he advocated also for us. To the extent, for example, one of the things we know about him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that he would not read or pray Salatul Janazah for somebody who owed money to anyone. So before he started the Salatul Janazah, he would ask, this person who passed away, does he owe money to anyone? And if the answer was yes, then he would say, who is going to pay that debt? Right? Who is standing guarantee for him? Later on, when he had money, thanks to the Futuhat and so on, he would take responsibility himself. He would say, okay, I will pay off his debt. Even though it was not his legal responsibility, but he did that. But he would not pray Salatul Janazah for somebody who owed money to anyone. Now, think about this. You might say, well, you know, I'm not borrowing from anybody. Yeah, that's right. But, for example, if you have not paid somebody when the payment was due, then you owe them money. And if you die in that state, then you are now a debtor of that individual to whom you owe money. So we need to be very careful with these things, right? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advocated, he told us, pay the worker before his sweat is dried, to that extent. Then we come to akhlaq, which is our manners. Now this refers to everything to do with, akhlaq has to do with everything in all our relations, in all our doings. Now, as far as akhlaq are concerned, let me give you an example. I was once traveling in Ramadan in India. I was on a flight, and the stewardess came with food, lunch. So I said to her, sorry, I said, thank you, I will not eat. I'm fasting. There was a guy sitting next to me in the aisle seat. I was in the window seat. This guy was in the aisle seat. So when she presented his meal to him, he turned to me and he said, do you mind if I eat? I'm quite happy not to eat if it bothers you or if there's any problem because you're fasting. So I said, no, of course not. Thank you so much for your consideration. Please do eat. Now, it turned out to be later on, it turned out to be somebody who was a HR manager in one of the multinationals in India. Now, think about that. His name was George, right? He was George something. So here is this Christian guy who has in India, there is no problem. I mean, it's not a Muslim country. You can eat in Ramadan if you like. Yet, just out of courtesy, because he has this Muslim guy sitting next to him who is fasting, he is willing to forego his meal, not to eat, just because, in case it bothered me to have somebody next to me eating while I am fasting. Now, this is an example of manners. It just shows, what is akhlaq. At the beginning of this COVID season, we were, if you remember, in America, there was a shortage of masks. So my wife, she stitched some masks, and for all our family here, and she also stitched some extra ones. So I took two masks across the street to our neighbor's place, and I gave them. In those days we had to stand far apart and so on, because they were shortage of masks. So I gave them the two masks. The gentleman, he was very happy. He said, tomorrow I have to actually go to the hospital because I have he was recovering from knee surgery. So he said, tomorrow I've got to go to the hospital because I have this knee surgery which I'm recovering from, and there's tomorrow's a review, and I did not have a mask, so I was thinking I have to go to Costco or somewhere and see if I can buy some masks. So this mask which you brought is very helpful for me. Thank you so much, and so on. Then 2 days later, I see this lady walking up the driveway, and she's carrying a beautiful basket of flowers. A plant with a flower basket. She came and she gave that to us. Imagine, this is just pure courtesy. That's it. Nothing else. We give them masks, and then her gift in terms of value was much more expensive than what we gave them, right? But this is her way of acknowledging that you people thought of us, and so we are thinking of you. This is what akhlaq is about. Akhlaq is about doing the right thing and doing it with grace. And finally, we come to muashara, which is society. Society is really the outcome of all that I have said. Muashara is the result of the right aqidah, the right ibadat, the right way of dealing with people, muamilat, and the right akhlaq. The result is the muashara. The result is the society, it's the culture, it's the society, it is the environment that we create around ourselves. This is something which is the most impressive from the perspective of the outside world. Is what kind of society do we create? As I said, this won't happen by itself. It's not a PR exercise. It's not, some social media trend that we start and we talk about this beautiful society of Muslims. No, you will have a beautiful society of Muslims if Muslims behave in the right way, if Muslims have the right akhlaq. If we want to be people who have a beautiful society, then we have to be people who are truthful. We have to be people who are trustworthy. We have to be people who are punctual. We have to be people who fulfill their commitments, right? We have to become people who are focused on quality, who deliver the best in whatever we do, no matter what it is. And so on and so forth, and who treat each other well with respect, and so on and so forth. This is how a beautiful maashara is created. And that is what this Sahaba managed to do in Medina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a living example of how this can be achieved, so that it can never be said that this is impossible. It is possible, it was done once, and when if something is done once, it means it is possible. And that's our challenge. Inshallah, I'm going to be doing a series of talks on this in our classes on Living Islam. So those who are interested can attend the classes and listen to more of this. For now, this is enough, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to practice Islam in a way which is beautiful and attractive and beneficial for us, and becomes a means of guidance and a means of inviting others to Islam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.